We're holding in the middle of the parak. We're up to the story of Mechiras Yosef, the sale of Yosef at Tzadik. And basically we're going to talk about also the cherem that Yosef's brothers made about an embargo on communicating about to Yaakov, you know, about the sale of Yosef. And then afterwards, in the next two weeks afterwards, the Medrash goes off on a tangent about the idea of cherem in general, and goes through different stories in Tanakh that talk about this idea of cherem. Okay, so up towards Rabbi Shmuel says, "Call ben zaykein chaviv la'aviv." Any ben zaykein, pashtus means a son who's born to an elderly father, is chaviv la'aviv. He's dear to his father. Shinemar, as it says in the pasuk, and we're holding over here in the beginning of pashtus Vayeshev. Shinema v'Yisrael ha'avas Yosef mikol bonov kiven zekunim hulay. Page Shin Lamed Zayin. Yisrael, meaning Yaakovinu, loved Yosef more than all of his other sons, kiven zekunim hulay, because Yosef was a ben zekunim. So the pashas understanding is that Yosef was the son of Yaakov Avinu when Yaakov Avinu was old, so that's why Yaakovinu loved Yosef especially so. Asks Medrash, v'chi ben zekunim haya Yosef? Was Yosef the ben zekunim, the son of Yaakov Avinu's old age, which would imply that Yosef was Yaakov Avinu's youngest son? V'haloi Binyamin haya ben zekunim? Wasn't Binyamin Yaakov Avinu's youngest son? He was born 6 years after Yosef. So why are we saying that Yosef was especially dear to Yaakov Avinu? Because he was his youngest son. Binyamin was even younger than Yosef. Rather, the Medrash is going to say that the reason why Yaakov Avinu loved Yosef more than the other brothers is for a different reason. Says the Medrash, El al yedei shiroh b'nevuasai shu asid limloich l'fichach ha'yayay v'yisrei mikol bonov. Rather, because Yaakov Avinu saw through his prophecy that Yosef is destined to be the king, so therefore Yaakov Avinu loved Yosef more than all his other sons. What? Does that make sense? Because he's going to be the king, that's why Yaakov loved Yosef more. So Mufarshim explained that what it means is because Yosef was destined to be the king, and Yaakov knew that in his old age he's going to be supported by Yosef. Vayichalkel Yosef, what the lashon of the pasuk, Vayichalkel Yosef is aviv. Yosef supported his father in Parshas Vayechi, so he knew that Yosef is going to support him in his old age. So that's why Yosef is called a ben zekunim, a son of his old age. The son who's going to support him in his old age. And that's why Yaakov Avinu loved Yosef so much, because he knew through Nevuah that Yosef was destined to be the one who's going to support him in his old age. Not because Stami was the youngest, because he wasn't the youngest. Binyamin was the youngest.
Interesting. So we can also call Binyamin the ben zekunim.
Right.
The Chumash never refers to Binyamin as being the ben zekunim.
Right.
It's not wrong to say that.
Right. And the Ramban says, the Ramban Chumash says that ben zekunim means the son of your old age, the one who's going to help you out in your old age. So Yosef was like the last one left in the house, because he was like, you know, from the younger kids, so he wasn't like married yet, and he didn't have his own family, so he was still around in the house to help out Yaakov, you know. But so that's why he's called a ben zekunim. Masha Enkid Binyamin, he was too young to help, so he couldn't help out. Yosef was 17 years old. If Binyamin was 6 years younger than him, so Binyamin was 11 at the time that Yosef was sold. What? Says the bit. What? Yeah. The kino is like kino gedola, and Yosef's brothers had great jealousy. They jealousized great jealousy over him. Shinamar, it says in the pasuk, "Vayiru echav ki Yosef ahav avihem." His brothers saw that he was the one that his father had loved, and they became jealous. And Marzuk says it's not pshat that they became jealous that their father loved him because he was the ben zekunim, and then they were jealous because. That's not. It would be natural that the father would love the ben zekunim over the other children. So that wasn't what they were jealous about. Rather, they were jealous about the fact why, the reason why Yaakov Avinu loved Yosef more. Because Yaakov Avinu saw that Yosef was going to be king, and possibly that he was going to sustain him in his old age. So they were jealous of that nekuda, that Yosef is going to be zeicha to that mila, to that status, and they're not. And then it came mamish, it was mamish in their face. V'ay, furthermore, Shirai said, "B'chaloymai she'asid l'maych." Yosef saw in his dream that he's destined to become king. V'higid la'aviv, and he told his father. V'hisif elay kina al kina, and that caused them to add jealousy upon jealousy. Shemar v'hisifu oyd snoy Yosef, and they added more. They continued to hate him even more. It was because the story with the dream made it in their face that Yosef is going to be the king in the future. He's going to be the king over them, and they're not going to have that same status. So it was mamish in their face. So that just made them more angry, more jealous, and they hated him even more. It says in the pasuk about Yosef that he was 17 years old. Who nar as bnei vilhav as bnei zilpan ashei aviv. And Yosef brought Diba Ra, bad words about his brothers, to his father. And it said, right before that, it said that he was playing as a child with the children of Bilhah and Zilpah. So the Medrash expounds on the juxtaposition between those two ideas. Here's the Medrash. Shira b'nei filag shei aviv eichlin b'sar aliyas kvasim k'shehen chay. Yosef saw the children of the Pilagshim, meaning the children of Bilhah and Zilpah, meaning Don Naphtali, Gad and Asher, he saw that they were eating Besar Aliyas Kvasim, the fatty meat of the tail of goats.
No, sheep.
Of sheep, sorry. Kishehen Chayim, while the sheep were still alive. And he spread the disgrace, their disgrace about them in front of the father. Meaning he told Yaakov Avinu, you know, these guys, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, they're eating off live animals, like these tails or whatever. Shema, it says the puzzle of Lo Yochlu Dabar Elishalem. They couldn't say any words of peace to him because there was some animosity. See, there was some verbal animosity between them. So the Medrash is saying that what happened was that Yosef was saying rumors about the children of the Pilagshim, that they would eat these tails off of live animals. Tagiminus also brings this down, that they would eat tails and the ears from live animals, from live sheep. That's the way that the Medrash over here says it. Right, so Rashi and Chumash says it slightly differently. Rashi and Chumash says that Yosef said rumors about, not about the Bnei Pilagshim, but about all of Yosef's brothers. Three rumors. One rumor that they would eat Avram and Achai. One rumor that they were hanging around non-Jewish women. And one rumor that they were disparaging the Bnei HaShfachis, the children of the Pilagshim. The ones that the Medrash over here is saying that the rumors were specifically aimed at them. So the other Medrash that Rashi quotes in Chumash is saying that the complaint was that the other brothers were disparaging these brothers. And Rav Chaim Falachi over here says that, you know, these two Medrashim don't necessarily jive. Because the question is, was Yosef on the side of the Bnei Pilagshim or he was against them? Over here, Medrash sounds like he was against them. And Rashi and Chumash sounds like he was defending them and saying that the other brothers were disparaging them. Okay. And the Medrash says over there, the Rashi says in Chumash that he was complaining that they ate Avram and Achai. So then the question is, what were they really eating Avram and Achai? And what did Yosef see that he thought they were eating Avram and Achai, that really they were doing something that Pashas is mutter? There's different explanations that they give.
Like these things. Possibly. Could not be considered an Avram.
It could be. You could say that this Medrash is sort of answering that by saying it was the tail, or Tiger Manus is saying the tail and the ear. It could be. There's multiple explanations. There's a famous pshat, they say that they created animals with Sefer Yetzira and they were eating those. There's no Avram and Achai by animals created from Sefer Yetzira. When I was a chassan, I wrote a kuntris for my chassana called Lachem Mimerchak, and one of the pieces in that kuntris was 31 explanations about what does it mean that Yosef was saying that his brothers were eating Avram and Achai. So Ayin Shalom, different explanations. Amar Yaakov LeYosef. Yaakov said, okay, now we're starting the story. Amar Yaakov LeYosef. Yaakov said to Yosef, Yosef bini, my son Yosef, it's been several days since I heard about the welfare of your brothers and the welfare of the sheep. Apparently Yosef's brothers went off to shepherd the sheep somewhere far away, and Yaakov didn't hear back from them. So he's telling Yosef, it's been several days since I heard anything. Shinamat says the pasuk, "Vayemeloi lechno re'ei shlem achacha v'shlem atzayin." Go out and see the welfare of your brothers and the welfare of the sheep. Go check out what's happening. I haven't heard it back from them. I want to see what's happening. They didn't have cell phones back then, right? And the Nar, the lad, meaning Yosef, he was going out and he got confused in the on the road. He was mistaken in the road and he got confused. He didn't know where he was going. Fog up by Gavriel HaMalach. Gavriel HaMalach bumped into him. You know, you get lost on the street. They didn't have what's it called, the GPS. They had Gavriel HaMalach.
Yeah.
What were you going to say?
What is Toa here? It's with a tap.
Toa?
The Toa is normally with a tap.
Yeah, so Torah with a test just means like not any mistake, and Torah with a tough means like a mistaken direction.
I could go for GPS, like a gave or postal service,
something like that. The what? So Yosef bumps into Gavriel HaMalach, how convenient. Shemar says to him, "Eyu ish v'hinei soya basodem." An ish found him, a man found him, and he is wandering. You can also say Torah means like wandering in the field. So what's this ish? Ish ze Gavriel. Ish means Gavriel. Shneimer, it says in the pasuk, "Ish Gavriel asher reisi bechazoin." And then we see in Daniel that Daniel calls the Malach Gavriel an Ish. And Ishim Malachim are collectively angels are collectively called Ishim. So you see that Ish in this pasuk refers to the Malach Gavriel.
That's Malach Amisrael.
No, that's Michael.
That's Michael. Who's Gavriel? Malach?
Gavriel is the Malach of fire, the Malach of Gvura. But it's interesting, Stam, because you're mentioning it, it's interesting because there's a few places that we find Gavriel specifically helping out Yosef. Like the Gemara says that Gavriel came and taught him the 70 languages.
Very interesting.
There's another Medrash that says that Gavriel was the one who told everyone that he wasn't really Mizana with Ashes Potiphar. So we find Gavriel like helping him out, even though usually Gavriel is like the Malach of Gvur and Din. So I have to know exactly how these things work.
Well, it happens to his father in general, and then to Avraham Avinu. So Michal shows up.
Yeah, Michal Gavriel. I don't know. I actually looked to see if there was like any other version that says like Michal instead of Gavriel. I didn't find any. Yeah, the Ba'al Segadol he wants to say that it was Pasha to us. That it was for sure a Malach that Yosef is talking to, where it says, what's it called? Vim to Eho Ish, that a man found him. Because what does the Ish say? The Ish says to him, the Medrash says, Amalai Matam of Akish, the Malach said to him, what are you requesting? What are you looking for? Amalai Esachai Anachim of Akish, I'm looking for my brothers. Shinemah says, I'm looking for my brothers. Right? And then the next, under the Pasuk is, Ephoihim Royim. Where are they pasturing? Where are they bringing the sheep to pasture? Right. So he didn't say to the person, I'm looking for brothers. Do you know my brothers? Maybe you know where they are. He didn't say, do you know them? He's assuming that you know who they are. I'm just asking you, where are they? So the Ba'al Segadol says from that, we can assume that whoever Yosef was talking to was for sure a Malach. Because only a Malach would for sure know the brothers. And just the shadow is, where are they? Okay. Says the Medrash, Hilichai Eitzel Echav, Gavriel brought Yosef to his brothers, V'ro'oisai Uvik Shelo Hargoi, and Yosef's brothers saw him, and they desired to kill him. They wanted to kill him. Shinamah says, Pasuk V'yiroisim R'alchaik, they saw him from afar, and they said, we're going to kill him. Amar Lehem Ruvain, Ruvain said to the brothers, Al Tishpichu Dam, don't spill blood. Meaning, he said, we're not going to actively go out and kill Yosef. Rather, what we're going to do is like this. Hashlicha Yisrael Abar Hazeh, let's throw him in this pit, Asher Bamidbar, which is in the wilderness, V'yavol Sham, and he'll die over there, and we'll only be passively killing him. We won't be actively killing him, and it won't be such an avera that we're doing over here, and we'll get rid of him, and we won't be implicated for this sin. Even though, technically, in Halacha, as the Radal points out, this is the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Ayin Vav Amid Beis, that if you do such a thing, you're still considered a tzeach, even though you didn't technically kill him. You just like left him in a situation where it was impossible for him to survive. That's called killing him. It's tantamount to killing him. But Reuven saying like, let's not try to like actively kill him. We'll only like passively kill him. Really, Reuven was trying to save him, as we're gonna see. But you know, they took the bait and they're like, okay, yeah, let's kill him in this passive way. V'shamu lo Echav, his brothers listened to him. Right, Reuven's brothers listened to him. They took Yosef and they threw him into a pit. It says in the pasuk, and they took him and they threw him into a pit. Fine. Met also Reuven. What did Reuven do? Halach v'yashav lo be'echad min ha'horim l'ered b'layla u'l'halis ha'seisav min ha'bar. Reuven went and he settled, or he pitched his tent or whatever. He hung out for that night at one of the mountains, so that in the middle of the night he would be able to come down the mountain and pull out Yosef from the pit. But as we're going to see, Reuven's plan did not work. It's not going to work out like that. Says Medrash. B'tisha echav hayu yeshen b'makim echad. Nine of Yosef's brothers were sitting in one place. I mean, why nine? Because you have the 12 sons of Yaakovinu, minus Yosef, right? So that's 11. Minus Binyamin, because Binyamin is too young, he's not involved in this. Minus Reuven, because Reuven is elsewhere. So you have nine. Nine sons of Yaakovinu. So the nine brothers were sitting in one place, Belev Echad Ve'etza Echos. And they had one heart and one advice, meaning they took one counsel, and they all agreed unanimously about what they're going to do. That they're going to sell him. V'avra Alehem Ishmaelim. A caravan of Ishmaelites passed by. V'amru, the brother said, L'chuvenim k'enel Ishmaelim. Let's go and sell him to these Ishmaelites. V'ahu Melichin Esel Ekseha Midbar. And the Ishmaelites will take Yosef to the edge of the wilderness. V'en Yaakov Avinu Shemea as Shamayoy. And Yaakov Avinu will never hear anything about Yosef again. Everything will be good. It'll be all hunky-dory because Yosef won't make us any trouble. He'll be far away, and Yaakov Avinu won't know anything that happened. And everything will be good. Umachru oisai la Yishmaelim be'esrim kosef. They sold Yosef to the Yishmaelim for 20 pieces of silver. V'chol achad be'achad natal shnei chasafim. And each of the ten brothers took two pieces of silver. Yeah. One second. It took two pieces of silver in order to buy liknes minolim braglehem, to buy shoes for their feet. Shinem, it says the pasuk al michram bakasef tzadik, about this is Amos giving musar to bnei to the shvatim of bnei Yisrael. It says what's the lashon of the pasuk al shloisha pishay Yisrael valarba leishivenu. And the sefer Amos is very interesting structure. He goes to different nations of the world, and he says, this nation did such and such averas, for three of them, I could sort of forgive them, but the fourth one, I can't forgive them. This nation did such and such averas, for three of them, I could forgive, fourth one, not, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, like a bunch of different Galatian nations. And then it goes to Yisrael, and then to Yehuda also. So one of the averas of Yisrael was Al-Micham Bekesef Tzadik, that they sold a tzadik for silver, Ve'evyayin Ba'avur Na'alayim, and Evyayin, the poor man, the destitute man, they sold him for shoes. Okay, so now we just said a whole bunch of things over here that we have to catch up on. First of all, Rabbi Pomerantz's question. We said there's only nine brothers, right? So he said there's nine brothers, they sold Yosef for 20 pieces of silver, and each one took two pieces, but there's only nine. So how did 20 divided into 9? Right? It should be 20 divided by 10 is 2, not 20 divided by 9. So the Mepharshim will say that even though Reuven wasn't present when they sold Yosef, but they still divided the money into 10 parts, and they gave the money to Reuven. Reuven got his money afterwards. He wasn't there, but they gave him the money afterwards, his two pieces of silver. And fine. And we're going to see later on in the Medrash that even though Reuven wasn't present at the time of the sale, but Reuven definitely knew about it afterwards, at least according to Pirkei d'Eliezer. Now, the Radal points out that in the Zohar it says that in Zohar on page in Bereishis Kuf Pei Hei Medbeis, it says that Lo yada Reuven mizvine de Yosef v'lizgalele azimna de'izgale Yosef le'achoyin. That Reuven never knew about the fact that they sold Yosef. And it was only revealed to Reuven that Yosef was sold at the time that Yosef, as viceroy of Mitzrayim, revealed his identity.
It was very interesting because Reuven's rabbis having the money, for civil laws, but I think I would say that it makes him into one of the involved. He took part of it.
Yeah.
He was by accepting the money, but. As if he was there.
No, so the Radha wants to say that it could be they didn't tell him what the money was for. They just gave him we owe you this extra money, whatever. We'll give it to him without telling him that it had to do with selling Reuven. If you understand that Reuven never, it was without selling Yosef. If you understand that Reuven never knew about it. But if you learn like Pirkei d'Eliezer that Reuven is going to know about it. So you could say that after they sold him, they gave him the money and they told him exactly what happened. Well, it's a shiloh whether Reuven is implicated in the sale of Yosef or not. We'll have to see exactly what the Mepharshim say about
it. Interesting, because by then when Yosef was about to reveal himself, Yehuda was the one dealing the whole stuff. Reuven wasn't so involved for some reason.
Right.
He wasn't even there. He was there.
Yeah. Reuven wasn't the... I mean, there is a manager...
No, but Reuven did try. He was.
Reuven did try. He said, my two sons should die. Yes. And then Yaakovina is like, what's that going to help? Yeah. And then Yehuda said, that, you know, v'chatis l'chatis l'chatis kol hayamim, and then Yaakovina was maskim. Okay. But, yeah. Another nekuda is, we said that Yosef the Tzaddik was sold for 20 pieces of silver. So the Marzu brings the Menesh Tanchuba. And then the Menesh Tanchuba says, that's it? 20 pieces of silver? That's what Yosef is. 20 pieces of silver means, the Chara means 20 shkalim of silver. 20 silver shkalim. So the Menesh Tanchuba says, that's it? That's all Yosef was worth? That's what they bought him for? 20 pieces of silver? Rather, the Menesh says, because they threw Yosef into the boar and he was very scared because of the snakes and the scorpions, whatever, so his face became like very white and pale, and actually it says green, his face was like very green and pale, it was green and pale, I'm not sure, and he looked like he was very weak, so the Yishma'elim were only maskim, they only agreed to buy him for a cheaper price. But really he would have been worth more than 20 silver pieces. That's what the Marzu brings from the Menesh Tanchuma. And my kasha is that if you look in Parshas Bechukosai, in the Torah, in Parshas Bechukosai, it talks about something called Erechim. Erechim is the value of people. Like if you want to say, like, you know, I want to donate my value to the Beis Hamikdash, so what is exactly your value? So it gives different amounts. If you have a man between 20 and 60 years old, so his value is 50 shekel kesef. If you have a woman between the ages 20 and 60 years old, so she's worth 30 shekel kesef. If you have a man between 5 years old and 20 years old, so he's worth 20 shekel. A woman between 5 and 20 is 10 shekel, etc. Right? A child less than 5 years old is worth 50 shekel, if he's a 5 shekel if he's a boy, 3 if he's a girl, etc. Right? So the question is, it says that if you're between 5 years old and 20 years old, and your boy, it's 20 shekel, right? And Yosef was 17 years old when he was sold. It's like, what's the Medrash bothered by? Oh, he was only sold for 20 shekel? Yeah, that's the value of a... So I was a shekel bothered by what's the Medrash Tanchuma's question. I think you could say Mahalach that the Pasuk in Parshas Bechukosai is talking about like the average person. The average person between this age is going to be given this value, and then the Torah is kaveya. The Torah gives it as a set amount because then it's hard to exactly estimate or evaluate how much each person is worth on an individual basis. So the Torah says like this is the average, and we'll go with the average. But Yosef Achor was above average because we know like Yosef was yifei Torah v'yifei Merit. Yosef was overly good looking, and the more good looking you are, then the higher price you can be sold as a slave.
But Erechim is not price you could be sold as a slave. It's a different. It's the Raisa. And it's two tenths, and it's Alpi agent. It's not Alpi Chachma or Hashibut.
But you would assume that it's somewhat correlated. I would assume.
No. I mean, I understand that these are. This is a very interesting parsha.
It's just Gzeres HaKasav.
It's Gzeres HaKasav, and I fully don't understand it. I think I heard somebody say over Hirsch has a very nice explanation of specifically numbers and where they come from.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, apparently like he really delved into it and it makes perfect sense.
Okay.
I listened to part of the share and it sounded good, but it's on the...
I have to see. I don't know exactly, I just understand.
I think it's just because age. Dafka, the Torah says, this age and this age.
This age.
So
and you think it doesn't have anything to do.
There's a similarity and you're right. That's his error.
Right.
But... maybe, I mean, obviously that would be his erech. Why he didn't get more, maybe the question is because, he got for his age, but the fact that he was also a tzaddik, there's a nedava there, there's an erech, there's, you know, there could be an extra amount to give for somebody's hashivas. That above and beyond the erech. But here, there has to be a connection.
Yeah.
Can I ask a question on the previous topic?
Yeah.
What was Yosef doing for so many hours in a pit with a lot of scorpions and snakes? There's no mention about it. What was happening over there? It was like for at least like half a day, right?
What did he do?
What was
I don't know. He was probably dominating. I don't know.
As I know, scorpions and snakes, they don't wait.
Well, actually, that's not true. I believe, if I may, snakes wait. That's why by Shimon and Esrei, if a snake's wrapped around your foot, you're not allowed to stop. The Rabbeinu.
Only if it's a non-poisonous snake.
According to him, he says a snake means you're not allowed to stop because the snakes don't just attack you until you attack them. But a scorpion, you do stop and you run away. Mm-hmm. The scorpions just attack people. I've seen it. I've been attacked by scorpions.
Okay, so let's say there was only one lazy snake there. And he said there were
snakes and scorpions.
Scorpions.
Lachayo was innate, it was probably innate that nothing happened to him. Especially when you're being thrown into the pit, and the impact will get them angry. The snakes and the scorpions, when you just fall on top of them, because you've been thrown in, would get them angry, and they didn't do anything. That's already innate in itself.
Is there another place in the Torah that talks about 25 shekalim is Esrin Gera? Not by Arachim, but there's another place that talks about Esrin Gera, which is Esrin Shekalim. There's another. Or I'm getting the number wrong.
Yeah, Esrin Gera is a shekel, but what shekel is? That's just defining what a shekel is.
Oh. It says that somewhere else in the. But maybe that was Kashur also.
Okay, so another idea over here is the Radal asks, like, why Dafka did they buy shoes? Like, what was the significance of buying shoes? So the Radal explains, because they looked at Yosef, the reason why they wanted to get rid of him is because they thought that Yosef was being overly gaivadik. He was being overly haughty, overly proud, and that he thinks he's going to be the king over us, etc. Right? So they bought shoes to show that, like, Yosef's value is like the value of a shoe. That the shoe sits there on the floor with the dirt. You know, the dirt is like the lowest of the low. So that's where Yosef belongs. Like, he belongs with the lowest of the low. He doesn't belong to be above us. That's the significance of the shoes. Like, Amru, they said, Nachrim beinenu she'ein echad mimenu magid hadavar liYaakov avinu. Let's make a cherem between ourselves so that none of us are gonna, that no one is going to tell about the matter to Yaakov Avinu until we have permission from all of us. We're going to make a deal, we're going to make a pact, we're all going to get together and make this cherem, then no one's going to tell Yaakov Avinu until we all agree together that Yaakov Avinu should be told. We know, I guess we're all familiar with the idea of a cherem. There's different ways, it's called haflaas. Haflaa is verbal expressions, that verbal expressions in halacha can create a halachic reality, right? Ish kider neder l'Hashem ha'yishavar shavua l'esor Yisrael na'avshayi, l'yachal devorei. A man who makes a neder or a shavua, right? So he's not allowed to profane his word. You have to follow your word. A neder, a shavua. So cherem is the same type of thing, even though it's not mentioned explicitly in that parsha of nedarim and shavuas, in the beginning of Matthias, but there is such a thing called a cherem, and there's different exactly explanations of where and when and what a cherem does. We had in this past week's parsha that if you give a cherem, if you say like this book or this box is cherem, so that means it goes to the kohanim. Stam cherem is the kohanim. It goes to hektish or to kohanim, etc. Right? But the idea of a cherem is that you're imposing an iser, you're imposing an obligation upon yourself. In a verbal way, just like a neder or a shvua. Cherem differs from neder and shvua in a few different ways. One of the ways is that a neder or a shvua, I can only make a neder or shvua on myself or on my own property. I could say, I'm not going to get benefit from you, or I could say, I'm not going to let my property give you benefit. Those are two types of nedarim. But I can't say, he's not going to get benefit from you. I can't impose a nether on you that you're not going to get enough from him, or your property is not going to get. It doesn't work like that.
A cherem doesn't work.
A cherem does work. A cherem, you can impose a cherem on somebody else. But we still have to see exactly different gedarim of the cherem. The famous, the Bala Memer of cherem, the main Maramakam about cherem is the Ramban. The Ramban in the end of Parshas Bechukai, the last piece of over there in Parshas Vayikra, in the Sefer Vayikra, and the Ramban wrote a separate a kuntres called Kuntres Mishpatei Acherim, which is all about different things about Cherim and how Cherim works, etc. So that's like the Ramban. I didn't have a chance to go through every detail of the Ramban and write it down, but hopefully within the next few weeks I'll be able to do that and we can speak a little bit more about it. So the brothers got together and said, we're going to make a Cherim and no one's going to tell Yaakov Avinu about this, about that we sold Yosef. Omer lahem Yehuda. Yehuda said to them, but he said, Reuven enekan. Reuven is not here. Ve'ena Cherim eskayim ela ba'asara. Reuven is not here, and a Cherim cannot be established without 10 people. You need 10 people to make, you need a minion, you need 10 Jews to make a Cherim, 10 men to make a Cherim. And Reuven's not here. We only have 9. So how can you make a Cherim? Interestingly, if you guys remember way back when we did part of the Perek Yotes, so there was a list of different things in the Perek Eliezer of things that require a minion, that require 10 people. And it was not one of them. But it's interesting that why the Midrash doesn't mention that over there. But okay, so Yehuda says, Reuven's not here, how can we have a Cherim? We don't have a minion. We need 10 people. Me also, so Midrash says, what do they do? Shitfu l'makim imohem v'chrimu. They partnered Hashem, l'makim, Hashem, with them, and they made the Cherim with Hashem. It was 9 people plus Hashem. Because otherwise they wouldn't be able to make a Cherim, because they need 10 people to make a Cherim. We'll hopefully, Be'ez Hashem, in a few minutes, we'll get back to this point. Why you need 10 people to make a Cherim, and exactly which point, which detail of a Cherim requires a minion.
And why Hashem?
Oh, of course.
Hashem would want this? I mean, understand what is it?
What does it mean? What does it mean that they partnered Hashem with them? They added Hashem into them? Shitfu l'makim imahem. What does that mean? That Hashem joined them. They're like a boss call come out and say, oh, I agree, now we have 10. No, Pashas, that's not what happened. So the Mepharshim say different explanations of how do we know that Hashem, how did the brothers know that Hashem joined with them? I have over here 3 explanations. The first one is from the Mizrahi, over here on the bottom. I'll just a disclaimer, I'm not satisfied with any of these 3 explanations. These are the 3 explanations that I found. The first one is the Bais HaGadol on the bottom that you guys have. He brings some of the Mizrahi. That the Mizrahi says that the brothers had a Kabbalah from their forefathers that one of the brothers is destined to be sold and brought down to Mitzrayim, and that's going to bring about the fulfillment of the promise to Avraham Avinu that his descendants are going to be strangers in foreign lands for 400 years. That they had such a Kabbalah that such a thing was supposed to happen. And therefore they reasoned, when we sold Yosef, that's on the way to starting the fulfillment of that Kabbalah that we had. And if we tell Yaakov, what happened, then Yaakov is just going to send the Shliach and try to get Yosef back and redeem him. Right? And then we won't all end up going down. So rather, what's supposed to happen is that we shouldn't tell Yaakov Avinu and let everything play out as it's supposed to. And from the fact that we have this Kabbalah, and this is the only way it seems that the Kabbalah will work out, it tells us that Hashem agreed with it, and that's how we know that Hashem is the 10th man. That's the Mizrahi's pshat. Okay, that's a pshat, and it's.
What's the problem with that
pshat? I don't know. It's just very hard to be Makabala. And Yaakov Avinu didn't know about that Kabbalah, and like, they knew they were going down to Mitzrayim. They knew Yosef was going to Mitzrayim. Okay, maybe not Mitzrayim, maybe a certain place. He said Mitzrayim, but a certain place.
No, the prophecy given to Abraham was not Mitzrayim, was it?
It wasn't specific.
It was
a
foreign land.
Yeah.
So here they thought Ishmaelim are coming, and this would go maybe to
the Ishmael land. Could be.
Somewhere. If Yaakov knew also, maybe he had a chiyuv to do ishtakus to get him out.
And then later on in the story, so the brothers are like asking Yosef for mechila, and Yosef is like, "Don't worry, Hashem made it all happen. Like this is all part of the plan."
Yeah.
So the brothers should have said, "What do you mean? Why are they asking for mechila? They knew that it was part of the plan."
Yes, for mechila, we something like that.
But it was part of the plan.
No,
not
really. No. It was part of the plan. No, you still if you.
Because they consciously knew in the beginning that it was part of the plan, and they consciously did this because they saw that this was the only way of fulfilling that plan.
They could have explained to him, listen, this is its time, we feel its time. you need to go wander off. We're not going to throw you under a boar. We're not going to sell you to Ishmael. You need to go off and find your way in the world because we got to get this plan happening. Now, they did the wrong. The way they did it, they didn't realize exactly Dafka, the plan, but they knew something. And
Do you ever hear, I don't know if, well, where it comes around to a woman in a different language, that says the reason, I heard it in North America, I'm not mistaken, the reason why they had this such a scene for him is because they thought it was like they didn't just like an obvious account. Avraham Avinu has his had two sons. One of them was bad. Our grandfather also had two sons. One of them was bad. Esau. One of us must be a bad guy, and we are all good guys. So the bad guys do what that one. They're trying to trick our father, like Esau was trying to do. You know, all his life for.
Yeah, I heard such a pshat, but I don't know where it comes from. I think I heard, I remember hearing
such a pshat. It's a little bit of the scene and the plan, but it doesn't right. play this plan or anything. It's like they're trying to get rid of him for a good reason, not a bad reason.
Yeah, I don't know. I remember hearing such a thing. I don't know where it comes from. The second pshat, so how did the brothers know that Hashem joined in with their chayim to make the minyan? So the Maharal says another pshat. He says that because they knew that if the Yaakov Avinu would find out that they sold Yosef, he makes two assumptions. This is like this. The first assumption is that if Yaakov Avinu would find out that they sold Yosef, Yaakov Avinu would curse them. Assumption one. Assumption two, Hashem doesn't want Yaakov Avinu to curse his sons. It's a second assumption. So it has to be that Hashem doesn't want it to be revealed to Yaakov Avinu that Yosef was sold. That's how they knew that Hashem joined in their chayim. The third pshat is the Marik. The Marik is in... This was the Maral.
Maral
and Gur Aryeh. The third pshat is the Marik. Shalos Lachubas Marik, Sherish Lamed Zayin. And then I found that...
Sorry, can I say the second number?
The second pshat is that the Maral says that... He makes two assumptions. The first assumption is that if Yaakovin would find out that, Yosef, that the brothers sold Yosef, so Yaakovin would curse the brothers. That's one assumption. The second assumption is that Hashem doesn't want it that Yaakov Avinu should ever curse his sons. So that would follow that Hashem doesn't want it that Yaakov Avinu will ever find out that Yosef was sold by the brothers. So that means that he must have been masking to the cherem. But the third pshat is the Marik in Shalos Tshuvas Marik, and also in I found that in his Pirush on Chumash. Right. In his Pirush on Chumash, the Marik in Parshas Vayeshev also says this very bekitzer, but he's similar, like you know it from the Tshuva. The Marik says that the pshat is that the brothers reasoned that why is Yosef being sold? Why was Hashem giving us hatzlacha to sell Yosef? Because it must be einish for our father, because he left his father for 22 years, so he gets punished. The Yosef is going to leave him for 22 years. Right, so it's part of the punishment. Now, if Yaakovina would find out, so Yaakovina would do what he can to get Yosef back, and then that would annul the entire punishment. So the brothers reason that it must be that Yaakovina is not supposed to find out. That's what the Marik says. Very sharp chat. The Maral brings down the Marik. He disagrees with it. He says, like, meichi teisi to say that the brothers knew that Hashem wanted to punish Yaakovina for leaving his father by having Yosef leave him. Very difficult chat.
Very interesting. Someone could make an assumption on how Hashem rules the accounting of someone else.
Right.
Like it's never such a thing.
Yeah. It's like, yeah. You know, it's none of your business. That's Hashem's chesed with him, and then Hashem's chesed with you or something else.
Someone could make tshuva and then the count is just like just zero the whole thing.
Yeah.
Maybe tshuva is something different.
Agav, someone recently pointed to me. There's a sefer Beis Yishai from Rav Shlomo Fisher from Itri Yeshiva. Rav Shlomo Fisher Shlita, Rav Shiva in Itri Yeshiva. So he writes in Chelak Aleph, the end of Drush Lamed, in sefer Beis Yishai. He writes that the story of Mechiras Yosef happened on Sar Batavis. So it's on Chiddush. I never saw anyone else who says such a thing. It's on Chiddush. Al Kaponim says the Medrash. V'yared Reuven b'layla la'halay says Yosef min abar. Reuven went down in the middle of the night to bring Yosef up from the pit. The Radal says it's coming to teach you how big of a tzaddik Reuven was. Because in the middle of the night, you can't see down when you look in a pit because it's pitch black. So what did Reuven do if he wanted to go save Yosef? He went down into the pit himself to go save him. It's dangerous, right? It's stinks of scorpions. Reuven himself put himself in a sakana to go save Yosef. He went there and he did not find Yosef there. Amar lahem. So Reuven said to his brothers, "Haraktem es Yosef, you killed Yosef. Va'ani ana aniva." And me, where am I going to go? I had a Christ, I was supposed to protect him, and you guys killed him. What's going to be with me?
Yeah, because Yosef never called him. Yosef, are you there?
Maybe he was sleeping.
Come on.
Mate, it was the middle of the night.
He was afraid of the scorpions and the snakes. They couldn't hear him.
Okay, fine, but I'm saying maybe. If you can't see, then you don't know what's happening.
Scream, just wake him up. Come on.
So Reuben got upset. I guess he got upset. He said, "Look, you killed Yosef, and what's going to be with me?" So the brothers told Reuven what they did, that sold Yosef, and about the cherem, that they made a cherem that no one's supposed to tell Yaakov Avinu. V'shama Reuven es hacherem v'shasak. And Reuven heard about the cherem that they're not supposed to tell Yaakov Avinu that Yosef was sold. V'shasak, and he was quiet, he didn't tell Yaakov Avinu.
He was very pleased with that, maybe, because he was the first one who wanted to save him, maybe the only one. So there's an opportunity to say, like, oh, okay, at least he's not dead.
At least he's not dead, yeah.
Because he doesn't want to say, don't kill him.
Right.
No shifik was done.
Right. The Gama Kaddish, Baruch Hu Shasak, and even Hashem was quiet. And because of this cherem that the brothers said, even Hashem didn't tell Yaakov that Yosef was sold. It says in the pasuk, "Magid dvarav leYaakov." Hashem is described as a person, as someone who is magid dvarav leYaakov. He tells his words to Yaakov, and ve'esadov razeh. But this matter, lo higid leYaakov. He didn't tell Yaakov. Lefikach lo yada Yaakov esadovar shenasa leYosef. Therefore, Yaakov Avinu did not know about the matter that happened to Yosef. Ve'omar, and when he was confronted with Yosef's Xenus passim dipped in blood, he said, "Tarek taraf Yosef." Yosef was surely, what's it called, clawed by a wild animal. Right. So Hashem didn't reveal it to Yaakov. Reuven didn't reveal it to Yaakov. Rashi and Chumash brings down the Yitzchak Avinu had a nevuah that he knew that Yosef was sold, and he as well didn't reveal it to Yaakov because of this cherem as well. And the another bench says Binyamin also. Binyamin knew what happened. I guess the brothers told Binyamin, and Binyamin knew what happened, that Yosef was sold, and he didn't say anything to Yaakov Avinu. The Medrash says that the one of the gems on the Choshen, right? What's it called? Oydem Pitzav Vorakas, Reuven Shimon Levi, etc. The last set of three is Tarshish Shoyham V'Yashfei. But Yashfei is Binyamin, right? The 12th one is Binyamin. Right? What's Yashfei? So Yashfei is, you could look at it as a portmanteau of two words. Yashfei is Yesh Peh. There is a mouth. The Binyamin's representation on the Choshen was there is a mouth. That there is a mouth of Binyamin that could tell Yaakov Avinu what happened, and beschai that he didn't tell Yaakov Avinu what happened, he was silent. You know, that's a special zchus.
Even though he wasn't part of the Cherem.
What?
Even though he wasn't part of the
Cherem. Even though he wasn't part of the Cherem, but as we said before, that a Cherem, you can impose the Cherem on other people. Reuven wasn't originally part of the Cherem either. The Cherem was just the nine brothers plus Hashem. And then, still, when they told Reuven that they made such a cherem, Reuven didn't reveal what happened. The same thing with Yitzchak, the same thing with Binyamin. Because of the cherem, they didn't reveal it. The Svarim talk about this idea that Binyamin has this mila of being quiet at the right time. That was the schus of Esther, by the story of Purim. Ain Esther Magedes. Esther didn't tell about her origins, because Esther's from Shevet Binyamin. It was the idea of Binyamin. It could be also, they say, that it comes from Rachel, because Rachel was quiet about the simanim, and she the way they say it is that the simon between Yaakov and Rachel was going to be that Rachel would come in and pretend like she's Leah, right? So by Rachel not telling Leah anything, so Leah spoke normally, and then that was the simon that she was able to marry Yaakov Avinu. So her silence, allowed her sister to marry Yaakov Avinu. It's a chiddush. There's other mafarshim that say other things about what exactly the simon was, but there's different ways of explaining it. You see this idea of Rachel and Binyamin and Esther, that they were quiet, and that it's a chashav amida. Okay, so we said earlier, we have to say this, that a cherem can only come about with there's 10 people. Right? So what's this idea of Ein Acher Miskayim Elabasar? So Rabbeinu Tam brings down this medrash, and he understands this medrash, Mamish Kipshutai, that the whole idea of Cherem only exists when you have the 10 people, when you have the minion. Less than 10 people, there's no such thing as a Cherem. That's what Rabbeinu Tam says. Now, Shalos Chuvus Marach Ur Zerua, from the son of the Ur Zerua, Shalos Chuvus Marach Ur Zerua, Simon Beis, he brings down this Rabbeinu Tam, and he disagrees. He says, no, that's not the Pshat in the medrash. He says, the Pshat in the medrash is like this. Really, you can create an idea of a cherem even with less than 10 people. But if you want to impose the cherem on somebody else, so then you need a very strong cherem. And such a strong cherem can only come when there's 10 people. So over here, the question wasn't, is there a cherem or is there no cherem? The question is, can we use this cherem to stop anyone or any entity from talking to Yaakov and telling about Mechiras Yosef? And for that, we needed 10 to block, let's say, Yitzchak and Binyamin also. So for that, we needed 10. So that's why they had to bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu with them. That's what Marach Ur Zerua says. But Zayis Ranan says a similar idea in Yalkut Shemayni, Rem is Kuf Mem Gimel. He says that Avada, like we said, from the Marach Ur Zerua, there is such a thing as a cherem less than 10 people. So what's the mile of 10 people? The mile of 10 people is that you can only make a cherem, you can only make a cherem on yourselves when you make a cherem, or on people, let's say, lower on a lower status than you. But in order to make a cherem, and you can see, he's saying you can even impose a cherem on other people with less than 10. Right? He's arguing on the Marach Ur Zerua. Even impose it on other people with less than 10. But to impose it on someone who's greater status than you, that you need 10. That makes it a real solid cherem. So like if the brothers would want to make it, let's say Yitzchak, who's greater than them, right? Even Binyamin could be greater than them. The Gemara and the Basra says that Binyamin died the Etei Shel Nachash. He died without any sin. Right? So Binyamin is also greater than them. If they want to impose the cherem on someone greater than them, so then they would need a minion of 10 people.
He was a kid by then.
Okay. I don't know how much of it. Okay, he was 11 years old, right? Okay, but.
I don't remember mentioning.
Yeah.
How about you? But Reuben was bigger than that. Wasn't poor, right? Wasn't
yeah, but Reuben already sinned, so he like lost. He in some certain ways lost the Bukhara. The shadow of when Reuben lost the Bukhara and Yosef got it. Did Yosef only get it later on and then Reuven lost it, or Reuven lost it right away? This is one of the things I spoke about by my little brother's bar mitzvah. I spoke about Kibud Acha Gadol in the story of Yosef and Reuven when the Bukhara switched. My youngest brother's bar mitzvah.
Did it like it?
What? No, there's a whole story behind it because my parents made a kiddush in the shul. And they were going to have a suda in the shul afterwards, after the kiddush. The problem is, if you get the entire community to come for a kiddush, how are you going to get rid of everyone for the suda? To make the suda, you know, like only for family and close friends or whatever. How are you going to get rid of everyone? So the plan was that between the kiddush and the suda, I would give a drasha. And then, you know, they were setting off and whatever, and then people kept leaving. And then, you know, my father gave me the signal, and they're like, okay, I'm finished, and then we can start the suda. Al-Kulponim, okay, that's the Zayis Rana's shot. They needed 10 to impose the cherem on someone greater than them. The Marik, in the Chuvas Marik, in Sheresh Lamed Zayin, he says another pshat. He says that, no, even... he says that even with 10 people, you can never impose a cherem on anybody else. It's only for the 10 people themselves, and it's never going to go on anyone else. So he says, and the whole idea of cherem is only with 10 people, like sort of like Rabbi Natan. The idea of cherem is only with 10 people. So he says, so what's pshat in the medrash over here? The medrash over here says that they had 9 people. Reuven wasn't there, so they added a shem, right? So then it says that they told Reuven, and Reuven heard it, and he was quiet. He accepted the cherem. But according to the Marik, the cherem can't be imposed on Reuven, because Reuven wasn't there, and it was 10 people without Reuven.
It says, B'shatak. He would be guilty too. He didn't want to say anything. He would be considered just as, you know...
No, he should be mutter. Should be mutter for him, because they can't impose the cherem on him.
No, but yeah, seder, it's not imposed upon him. That's why it says vishasak.
You're saying Bishasar, even era. Without the Chayim, you're saying, even without.
Because
he'd be guilty. You're saying, Meikr, that he didn't need to be Shasak, but he was anyways.
Yeah.
Ayer?
He'd be loved in the
MS.
No, I still stick to my plan to, like, to take the rap from him and then just, like, about the Shifu's Damim thing. He was very concerned about the Shifu's Damim. He was the one to, you know, the idea of keep putting him in the pit. Maybe he's just like,
what?
Still sticking with the idea. Maybe he was, let's say, maybe a little happy. What happened?
He was happy that Yosef wasn't killed.
Yeah, because they wanted to kill him.
Right.
They wanted to kill him. Because the other guy.
So that's the what? So he was happy, right, so he didn't want to.
Shut up, you know, just like an accept the
security. I hear.
At least the lad is okay.
You're saying like the psychological part. You're saying a psychological part.
He was surrounded. The whole thing that he tried. No one said he tried to find him.
So the emphasis is that the Marik has a different kirsa in the Pirkei Eliezer. When he brings it down, he says that when they told Reuven about it, so shitfu imahem, they added Reuven to the cherem. They like redid the cherem now with 10 real people, and then Reuven was added to the cherem. There's a few more lines I want to do, but Rabbi Yana Yomer Michiras Yosef Lo Niskaper LaShvatim An Shemesu. The sale of Yosef was not atoned for by the Shvatim until they died. Shenamar V'Nigla BaOzne Hashem Tzvokis Yimichu Paravin Azel Lachem At Musun. It's revealed in the ears of Hashem, the Lord, the host of the legions. If meaning it won't be that there will be a kapara for this sin until they die. And the Mufarshim speak out that the 10 Shvatim who were involved in Mechiras Yosef were Gilgulim, when his Galgulu in the 10 Asara Haruge Malchus, each of them died, and then the Asara Haruge Malchus, that was Malchus was a kapara, as we say, for Mechiras Yosef. We say it in the Piyut on what's it called? Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur. We said it by both, I don't remember. The idea of Asara Haruge Malchus was a tikkun for Mechiras Yosef. You have to know the cheshbon exactly, because there were only 9 brothers involved in Mechiras Yosef. Reuven wasn't involved, so where are the 10? So some count Reuven, some count Yosef, some count HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. There's different ways of counting it. I wanted to make a chart, but I didn't end up doing it. I just looked at the calendars. I saw today that today was the yahrzeit of Rav Chanina ben Tradyan, the story of Avodah Zarah, one of the Asara Haruge Malchus who was killed, who was burnt alive with the Sefer Torah. So today, I forgot which Shevet Chanina ben Tradyan was connected. The Seder Deres also, he talks about like which one of the Asari Haruge Malchus was connected which Shevet. Like they said that Rabbi Kiva was either connected Yisachar or connected Yosef, connected Hashem. There's different explanations. Fine. Mechiras Yosef borah be'eretz Yisrael. And through in Mechiras Yosef, meaning either as a punishment for Mechiras Yosef, or meaning in the time of Mechiras Yosef, after Mechiras Yosef, Barav be'eretz Yisrael, a famine came to Eretz Yisrael, Sheva Shanim, for 7 years, Vayerdu Achi Yosef Asara, Lishvar Bar ben Mitzrayim, and the 10 brothers of Yosef came down to buy provisions from Mitzrayim, Umotu Yosef Shulchai, Betiras Achayim, and they saw that Yosef was alive, and then they were Matir the Chayim. The same, just like by a nether, not by a shul, but by a nether, you can make a nether and then you can do hataras in the darim. So by a cherem, you can impose the cherem, and then the same people that made the cherem can take away the cherem. So they were matir the cherem. Vishava Yaakov al Yosef Shulchai. Yaakov heard about Yosef, he's alive. V'chaisai ruchai, and his spirit came alive. Shinema, as it says in the pasuk, Vatechi ruach Yaakov avihem, and the spirit of Yaakov came alive. Says the Medrash, Chimeza Chaisa Rucha Shal Yaakov Shachaisa, was the spirit of Yaakov Avinu dead, that you could say that it came alive? Some said that he died and he came to life. What does it mean he died and he came to life? What does it mean? That the spirit of Yaakov Avinu left him because of this Chayrim, the Rucha Kiddush left Yaakov Avinu and he wasn't told about Mechiras Yosef. And once they were matted this cherem, the Holy Spirit of Hashem rested upon Yaakov Avinu like it was in the beginning. The Spirit of Yaakov came to life. V'tirgem Unkelus, and Unkelus translates, V'shoras ruach nevuah al Yaakov avuhan. that a ruach nevuah, a prophetic spirit, rested upon Yaakov, their father. That's what says the Targum Unkelus. And the Radal says that this was added later on because Unkelus was a Talmud of Rabbi Eliezer.
Yeah.
So how could it be in Pirkei Avos? So it says that it was added later on just to clarify what we're trying to say over here, that Yaakov even lost his ruach HaKodesh because Hashem didn't want to tell him about Mechiras Yosef. And then other Mepharshim said that because Yaakov was sad, because he thought Yosef was dead, so that just added to it, and that made it that once you're sad, you can't have Nevuah, because Ein Shechina Shera Ela Mitayich Simcha Shel Dvar Mitzvah. So Yaakov couldn't have Nevuah, he was sad, it was like a vicious cycle, and then now that the Cherem was Mutter, so now the Yaakov could have Ruach HaKodesh or Ruach Nevuah to tell him that Yosef was sold, and then everything was, he was able to be happy again, and then he got back his Nevuah. So this sounds like Yaakov did find out about the Mechiras Yosef in the end. There are Mepharshim and Rishonim that said that Yaakov never found out about it, but that's for what Mendrash over here is saying, that he did find out about it in the end. Okay. Go ahead.